Hi, Ben.
Hello, Bill.
How are you?
Great. How are you?
I'm sweating. If you really want to know the truth, I'm sweating. When I come back in my next life, this is a joke. When I come back in my next life, I used to want to be a skinny, long-haired guitar player. But Brian's changed my mind. Now I want to be a skinny, long-haired drummer. Yeah. He's changed my mind.
Yeah?
Yeah. But one thing's for sure is I don't want to sweat. You know? That's all it is. Well, it's Christmas. Are you a Christmas fan?
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Okay.
I was telling our church last Sunday, there's a station on, and I can't turn it off. I just get in my truck, leave it on. I don't even change it. Even the terrible Christmas songs I listen to.
Aren't they all terrible? No.
No. They're wonderful.
No. Okay. Well, we're so glad that Ben's here to celebrate Christmas with us today. I get tired of Christmas. I mean, I love what the real meaning of Christmas is, but boy, I get tired of all the other stuff that goes along with it. They know that. Last week, I complained about it.
You did? You know?
Yeah, oh yeah, big time. And probably, yeah, I did. See, you guys will say, yep, he did. You know, so I love what the real meaning is, and today we look at the real meaning and some of that, and I thought, man, it's all wrapped up. We're going to go to Luke chapter 2, verses 8 to 14. And this is really where we're centering today. You're going to start.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them,
"Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger."
Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying...
Wait a minute. Am I the one that I'm the host here?
You're
is that what
host.
You're saying? I'm the
you're
whole
the
host now?
There's no hidden agenda
there. I'm not like, you know, in the band they call it, it's the depth and girth of my voice, you know. Okay, I'm the host right now. Say it with me here. Glory to God in the highest... No, say it with me here. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. You know, we often say it's Christmas, but he ever just asked a simple question is, why did he come? And I know we know all the Jesus answers, but why did he come? Emmanuel, God with us. When we can grab the depth of that, the magnitude of that, that God came, Emmanuel sent his son, fully embodied in Christ, fully embodied in the son, and he came with us. Sometimes we need to ponder amidst all of the Christmas that really what happened that night was an amazing issue that all of life would be dealt on. We talked last week here about defining events, the defining events that changes your life, that changes your outlook, and the defining events that change history. This defining event continues to define every day of our life. This defining event is to be a defining event every moment of every day. We are to have that defining event every moment. Here's Christ's child. So why did Christ come? Did he come just to create a holiday? We looked at the issue of, okay, I get some time off, woo-hoo. Was it a nice fairy tale story that we put in the Bible, you know, in children's books that we can tell, that we can give gifts? Why did Christ come? And when you look at that, he came with a purpose, that purpose to be the sacrifice for all humanity. That purpose to be the sacrifice, that sacrificial lamb. But he came to glorify the Father. As Ben and I talked, really the truth is he became the pattern. This Christ child became the pattern to be the model for our lives, that pattern, that our purpose. We are to live in the same purpose that he was, and that was to glorify the Father. Everything about him, he came to glorify the Father. He didn't even come for his own behalf. The Spirit of God glorifies the Son, and the Son glorified the Father. That Emmanuel, God with us, when he came that morning, we celebrate Christmas, he came with a purpose. He came to glorify the Father, but as we want to glorify the Lord, as we see that for us, that defining event to live every day, to make Christmas real in our lives, it should be that every breath, every moment of every day, our desire and our purpose is to glorify the Lord. And that's not a small little subject in God's Word, is it?
No, absolutely. God's Word speaks directly to that. Romans chapter 11, verse 36 says, "For from him and through him and to him are all things, not some." Not just one day of the week, Everything is to him and for him and by him. To him be glory forever. Amen. Mankind has been created for the glory and the purpose of God. The earth was created for the glory and the purpose of God. Abraham, way back in the Old Testament, was chosen for the glory and the purpose of God. The nation of Israel was chosen for the glory and the purpose of God. Jesus lived, died, was buried, and then rose again for the glory and the purpose of God. The Holy Spirit, therefore, lives and resides in us for the glory and the purpose of God. The church is meant to be for the glory and the purpose of God. Our individual lives, our personal and corporate ministry is meant to what? The glory and the purpose of God. I believe that it's not until we realize this truth that we will ever find true worth and purpose in our life, whether it be this life or the next. And that's why Christmas, not for you, this is why Christmas can be such a debilitating time in our life for some, because there's no hope. There's no joy. People have not come to a point of realization to where they understand that all of their life is meant to be for God's glory and purpose. I believe it's not until we realize that truth to where we will serve in our fullest capacity within the church in whatever area of ministry that we are. We have spent the last 7 years of ministry in Tracy as a church. And God did great things. But it was for His glory and His purpose and His working that did it. The last 18 years here, 18 years as Grace Community Church, God has done the work. And it's all been for His glory and for His purpose. Regardless of who is standing in the pulpit, who is sitting in the chairs, God is going to work. And He will. And Jesus sets that pattern so well, coming on Christmas. The question for us today, though, is as follows. Is your life being lived for the glory and purpose of God? And subsequently, we have to deal and ask the questions of, you know, how do you measure that? What does glorifying God look like?
I think when you talk about worth, especially, when we understand that, if we truly can understand that the purpose of our life is to glorify God, everything falls under that.
Yeah.
The good things, the bad things, the things we agree with, the things we don't agree with. Our government falls under that. Everything in our life is to bring glory to Him. It's not to bring glory to self. It's not to be following self. And if we're going to, we have to understand what, sometimes as we talk, sometimes we can talk here really good and we could pray right now and say, go and glorify God. And you say, yeah, that's great. That's great. But what does that look like? What does it really look like? If we're going to be real about saying, of what does that look like? It's kind of like the so what? His glory is our purpose. His glory is our purpose. So what? What does that mean? Well, first of all, I think there's a lot of ways you can take anything in Scripture. But the bottom line is His purpose in our lives is fulfilled when we do what He says. His purpose in our life is when we're obedient to what He says to do. There's so many things. Like in Philippians 2, it says to have the same mind. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And that is to be a servant. To be a servant, to say, I give up my rights. Man, if people could get that about the purpose in our life, I give up my rights. But you don't have a right to treat me that way. You don't have a right to say that. You don't have a right. But we give up our rights. And we say, I'm just going to be a servant. I think it would be knowing and living the same priorities that He would have. So He says, if we're going to glorify God, it's not some ethereal thing that we come in on Sunday morning and we have a nice little worship service, we have a nice little, you know, we sing, and that's glorifying to God. It can be if we offer our hearts, but it can sometimes just be a mass choir that's not worshiping anything. We're just singing. But when we come and we offer Him our lives, when we come and we realize, I want that mind which is Christ, did you worship today with the mind of Christ? Did you come today and say, God, I want your mind in this situation? When we come, it would be knowing and living the same priorities that He would have. If we're going to glorify God, then His priority is seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things will be added unto you. That we're ministers of reconciliation. Those are His priorities that He tells us to do. So as we look at what does glorifying God look like, we need to realize that it is about recognizing and loving, choosing to love even imperfect family members here. Not just family in your families, your biological families. But he says we are to love all people. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. There's our priority. To love your neighbor as yourself. So we've often said that when somebody says, oh, they're unlovable, we make that determination, no one else does. That's our determination we put upon them. God says everybody's lovable. We will look at that and say, man, they're just hard to love. Well, they may be difficult to love, but God says we're to love. So the priorities of our life, by loving what he loves, when bottom line is going to boil down to that glorifying God is more than just an attitude of, oh, I want to worship and glorify God and get all warm and fuzzy. Because we have people every Sunday, I think, I would dare say as the pastor here, we have people every Sunday who come in here and they love the worship service, they love the warm and fuzzy, but they walk out in the cold, dark, and foggy day, and where it's more than just an attitude, it is an action. Our behavior is how it is seen in our glorifying to God. That's how glorifying God is demonstrated. That is how we look at our lives and say, God, that's what it's all about. So the bottom line is we love what he loves. What does he love? He loves his church. He loves people. He loves us. And we're to be the same. And within that, it's...
Yeah, I think it speaks, too, of the fact that in order to do those things or to hear those things, you have to be in a relationship with them.
Absolutely.
You know, I remember growing up, often the people would say, it's not a religion, it's a relationship. And the older I get, and even having children now, I realize that that's such a truth. Because you can't understand what his priorities are, what he loves, if you're not in a relationship with him.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and that's why I think the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And then the fool out there says, well, I don't understand why you would want to live that way. How can you believe in God? How can you? But they have a darkened mind, a darkened eye. If they're just seeking for a religion, they're never going to understand the ways of God. But when we have a personal relationship with him, when he comes in, as Corinthians says, and he changes us, he gives us new, all of a sudden that relationship makes sense. All of a sudden those... the things that we start to learn in a new way, they make sense. And all of a sudden, the mysteries that the world will look at and say, well, that's just dumb that you worship that kind of God, or why would God want that? When you know him in a relational way, all of a sudden, those burdens aren't heavy. That fruit's not heavy. Mm-hmm. It's light. He says, come and take my yoke, take my burden, and it's going to be light upon you. And I think that's the difference of just coming to a religion. We try to put on a religion, good luck. Mm. Good luck, we're all going to fail. But it's that relationship. And from that relationship, there should be a natural response, natural response.
That's a great point. And when you talk about measuring our life and that natural response, it's really comes down to measuring if we're living for the glory and the purpose of the Lord. It's looking at your life and saying, is there fruit or is there no fruit? You know, the fruits of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. You know, am I displaying those things? It is God who does the work, right? It's God who saved us. It's God who keeps us. It's God that's going to carry our salvation on till the very end of time, right? But there is still fruit that has to become evident in our life. And I think it takes place, I love in Luke chapter 2, verse 15, when the angels show up to frighten these shepherds. I would have been frightened. I would have been like, oh, what's happening right now? And they say to one another, let's go. Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened. And I think it's great. It's saying, let us go because of this miraculous thing that has taken place. And that's the truth of Christmas, and that's the truth of salvation. God reconciling sinners to himself, God redeeming us, is the fact that in a miraculous way, we are born again. An incredible thing. And because that takes place, we then have to daily, almost at a daily basis, we have to look at our life and recognize, is there fruit being bared or is there no fruit? And we have to reorient ourselves to what God is doing. This week we were talking about reorienting ourselves, and I love going and trying to read definitions of words because I'm not a real great remembering person. And so I always have to look things up and reorient, meaning finding one's position again in regards to our surroundings. And I imagine after these angels showed up, these shepherds must have said, what just happened? And they probably reoriented themselves and then said, we need to go see what God is doing. And I think for us in trying to live for the glory and the purpose of the Lord, it comes down to God doing the work and us being in that personal relationship. But then we have to look around in our lives and saying, is every area and arena of my life being lived for the glory and the purpose of the Lord? Or am I living for my glory and for my purpose? It's a hard thing.
Yeah, I love the fact we talked about reorientation, that issue of it doesn't put the onus of responsibility on the situation. It puts the onus of responsibility upon us. That we reorient ourselves to the situation God has placed us in. And that sometimes brings that change. And we have to make that response. It goes on in that passage, Luke chapter 2, verse 20. And it gives us their response. It says, the shepherds return. So they go see this Christ child. He said, let us go. They go. And it says, glorifying. But when they return, look what it says. They were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. I think there's a lot within there, but I think as we look at that, I think sometimes we have to ask the question of ourselves, is what is our result to what God has shown us? What is our response to what God has shown us? What is our response to where God has us at that very moment? There's very few things in life we can control. Very few. I can't control your actions. I can control my attitude, and I can control my response. And when we talk about glorifying God, the issue of so what within all this, and the so what of glorifying God, let me just tell you, you're here this morning, things are going well, it's easy to glorify God. Isn't it great? Glorify God, bless God. That's not the challenge. The challenge is when the situation that you're in isn't so bless God oriented. Can you glorify God? See, it's easy to glorify God when things go our way, when I get what I want, when my job's going well. But the response, they came back, their natural response out of seeing the Christ child. One, everything was just as the angels had said. There was a history there. And God tells us we have a faith history as well. And so we can always pull back on that and say, God, man, you know, I know you're never going to forsake me. I know your love's never going to separate from me. I know the situation that I may be in is maybe difficult. But the question is, in that difficult situation, can you glorify God? Or do you pull back and say, poor me, and I'm hurt, and I'm sad, and it's all about me? Where do you go to glorify God when things are not easy? And I think that's where we understand, what has God shown us? Where has God placed us? To glorify God no matter where we're at. Some have health concerns. How do I glorify God through that? Some are on the mountain right now. Some, man, the Lord just seems to be, the windows of heaven are open. Bless God. Some are having kid issues that are great, and you bless God. Some of you are having kid issues that, like, oh God, you know, where are you? And you need to.
That changes from minute to minute, too.
Yes. Yeah. You have a 16-year-old.
And a 13-year-old.
And a 13-year-old. And the 16-year-old starting to date.
Yes, she is. But the young man came and sat down in my office, and we talked.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Yes. Yeah.
But the point is, as much as we make light of that, Madison cannot be controlled by Ben and Amy, no matter how much you want. Can't do it. They can only teach her to respond to the situation that God places her in, to glorify God in everything. In everything that we do, how do we glorify God? In the dating, in the issue of all that, in our jobs, in the situation, how do we glorify God in that process? So the reorientation of every place we find ourselves. And yet I also think the issue there is that there's a mission field there. That people, when God places us or gives us something that we don't like, it's hard to handle, or things didn't turn out the way we are, we can also look with expectancy and say, God, you're still God. God, you're still good. And things are going to be just as you said they are. So I want to serve, as you said, within the issue of, man, when we understand that glorifying God, then we serve. And we serve out of love, not out of guilt, not out of fear. We serve. When we understand glorifying God, then we want to be in the Word. We want to understand the Word. We want to do those things. So glorifying God really comes to being what He loves, to love what He loves, and to be the person that He loves. And that is where we need to be. And I think that with the whole process of glorifying God. And our hearts, our prayer has been today that we just don't give you a nice little tidbit that you can walk out of here and say, okay, glorify God. That's what we all know. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, goodwill to men. Yeah, okay, great. It's Christmas. No. The challenge is, as soon as you get slapped as you walk outside the door with something that's going to say, this is not so easy to glorify God in, can you do so? Will you do so? The issue is can, is yes. Peter tells us, I love this verse, I hate this verse, and I love this verse. Because Peter tells us that God has given us everything we need. Everything we need to live according to his word. I love that because I know with assurance that God's given me everything I need. I hate that because there are no excuses. Right? There's no excuses. I'm tired, I'm shy, I'm mad, I'm hurt, I'm happy, I'm busy. No excuses. Everything he's given everything we need to live godly.
I was preparing for a service that I'm doing for a funeral today, and obviously you do funerals all the time, and we've all been to funerals and they're difficult times, but in regards to the glory and the purpose of the Lord, there are so many moments in our life that are tragic and unexpected that we don't desire. And for me, when I try to explain to people, my prayer today is, without God and understanding what Jesus has accomplished on the cross for us and given us new life, and that our lives are really meant for the glory and purpose of him, there's no way for me to walk through those things and make sense of what's taking place. It's an impossibility for me, and I don't know how else someone could walk through those moments. Unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think as a church body, we need to pray for a Ben. Great opportunity today in a situation, the funeral that you're doing. Great opportunity. And yet to show that it's only with the Lord that any of that can take place. So the things that we face, that it's only through, to give glory to him and to show them Jesus. And that's why I think at times we say we're the visible representation of Christ. We have to be that. We need to be that visible representation of Christ. Both of us had talked about, okay, let's just close with a challenge, that what our challenge would be for you as a body, as us as pastors, for us as a family together. And it wasn't hard in the sense of not knowing what to say. It was hard in the sense that there was too much to say. But I think my challenge is pretty well tied up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And it says, finally then, brethren, we request and exhort you in the Lord Jesus, that as you received from us, as Paul's talking and those that were there, they were only in Thessalonica 3 weeks. That's all. Then they got ran out of town. They established a church. He's writing back to them. But he said, as you receive from us instruction as to how you ought to walk and please God, just as you actually do walk, that you excel all the more. And I think that would be a prayer for any pastor to his people. That is, man, we exhort you, that a word exhort, to beg, to we exhort you in the Lord Jesus, to know him. We try to teach you in an instruction how you ought to walk, and that the goal of our life is to please him and to glorify him, that he brings all glory. He was telling the Thessalonians, which I wish he would tell us as well, as you are already doing. He was telling them, you are walking in obedience to the Lord, but that you excel all the more. And if we would excel, my prayer and our challenge is that, man, we would not seek the minimalist role in knowing God. It won't just be how we get by. It won't be just, okay, what do I need to do? But that we would excel in glorifying God in everything. That every word, everything that comes out of our mouth, every thought we take captive, every response to people is one that glorifies him. These people know, because I've said it over, it's my mantra for years, love never fails. Love never fails. And that's where we need to excel in this as well.
Yeah.
Final thoughts?
Yeah, I was thinking, well, I have a lot too, and we could go on. Chuck said I could go a little bit over, but no.
And he who's Chuck?
It. Yeah. I'm not going to go. But I was thinking of that reorientation process. And part of that process is living in the knowledge that God is already working within us. Like you were saying, already doing. He is working. And my challenge would be to keep walking, even if it's one step at a time, in that reorientation process of your life. It could be a myriad of different things. It could be a lot. I wrote down just some of them. For some, it's making church a priority. And you may think, Ben, we're all here. How can that be a point? Making a church a priority in your prayers, in your thoughts, thinking deeply about what's shared on Sunday mornings in your life groups or your your prayer meetings, reading the Bible, praying, sharing your faith, giving of your time and money, praying for your boss, praying for your employees, begin a study on campus, join a life group, begin journaling, memorize a verse, go on a mission trip, serve in ministry, and our youth, and our nursery, and our toddlers. Pursue ministry full-time for some of you. I remember many years ago, someone challenging me, maybe God's calling in you ministry. Serve a ministry part-time. Forgive someone. Ask for forgiveness. Maybe it's a time to stop an addiction or to ask for help. Reorienting our life means that God is already at work. And we have to just say, okay, let us go. Even if it's one step at a time and you don't know the second step, you just take it. And that's my challenge for you is start. Start doing it. God's going to do the work. But he has always used people in accomplishing his will on this earth. It's an incredible thing. I don't know why God planned it that way, but because of his grace and his mercy and his wisdom and knowledge, he uses us. That's what I would say.
Glorify God. I hope it's not just a word that rings in your brain and says, okay, glorify God, but that there's some feet to that as you walk out of here of how you need to do so even this week. And the challenges that may arise in front of you, how can you glorify God through all of it as you reorient yourself to that situation and to glorify God? Let's pray. Father God, this morning as we come, it's clear that you've set forth the purpose of our life is to glorify you, to know you and make you known. That our heart is to be one that shows you. I pray that this day, that as we are here, that we worship you with our heart and our lives. We worship you with our voice, our tongue, with the things that we say. That everything that we say and everything that we do would be to bring honor and glory to you. Father, may it not be about us, any individual, but may it be about you in every way. So God, I pray that your Spirit would do the work in every heart and life that's here that your Spirit needs to do. And that they would give you free rein. That God, your Spirit would move across each of our hearts. And say, God, we want to glorify you with excitement, with anticipation of seeing how we can bring honor and glory and really fulfill the kingdom mentality you want. Thank you for this day. Thank you for letting us worship together and learn together and challenge us as we go now together. For it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.